This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik Dagir.
Who are you and what do you do?
My name is Jesse Begood. I am currently a customer experience manager for an organization called AnglePoint. We do software asset management consulting services. So I'm working a lot in customer experience, but also have significant experience in customer success and user adoption as well.
Jesse, how are you involved with user adoption?
Yeah, user adoption is an interesting thing, and I've thought about this question in preparing for our conversation. User adoption, I think, can go a couple of different ways. As I mentioned, I have significant experience in customer success, working with software users all the way from a small company that was making $50 million annually to a Fortune 50 company where we were working with some large multi-year, multi-million dollar accounts. It's very important to get those users adopted in the software you're using. I think it's also important to remember that that can be something that happens internally, though. And I've seen that a lot as I've been working within this customer experience role in my current organization. There's some different programming and things that we are trying to make happen to improve our customer experience. And with that, there's a lot of adoption that we hope to see internally as well. I think the key to remember with adoption is that it's about influence. And maybe that's influencing customers or influencing coworkers. But I think being able to influence others is a key to adoption.
Jesse, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with user adoption?
Yeah, biggest successes that I've seen are from a monetary standpoint, as I mentioned, working with some large organizations. I've definitely seen that when you are able to help organizations or specific users adopt, say, software usage, for example, when they get value out of that, then you are guaranteeing revenue for your organization. Sometimes that's just a renewal. Sometimes that's a renewal, and it may come with some sort of upsell or expansion opportunity. But I've seen cases where because we have been able to show our clients value, personally, the largest that I had seen was we had a customer that we were working with. When it came time to renew, we were able to renew them. They were very happy with what we were doing. And because of their upgrade and some things they wanted to do, looking at a long-term strategy, we added about $2 million to their renewal in some additional sales and things that they wanted to do because they were seeing the value in that. On the challenges side, again, like I said, it's all about influencing people, and there are different kinds of people out there, and different people, it requires different kinds of influence in different ways. Now, while I wish that I could say that I've never lost a customer or never seen any churn, that's not the case. Sometimes people just aren't either the best fit for the organization that I'm working with, or I've even had cases where due to my own dropping the ball, let's say, customers have failed to see the value or have said, you know what, we're going to choose not to work with you anymore. And it's sad, but sometimes that happens. I think in most cases, when it's been an account worth saving, I've been able to save it. But as I said, sometimes it's just not a great fit. And I've seen a few customers leave, and sometimes that's just the way it has to be.
Jesse, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
Yeah, as I mentioned, influence, I think, is very important. And the things that we do to influence people, I think, can have a big difference. You may have the best software, the easiest to use software. Those things don't always guarantee adoption from what I found, because in the end, you're working with people and it's about people and about relationships. What I have found is that there are different areas that I need to kind of check the boxes, so to speak, as I'm working with people to see what I need to do and how I can influence them. Just as an example, some of these boxes that I'm trying to check are, number one, try to understand what the person's or people's or an organization's motivation is for maybe a software purchase or Even as I mentioned internally, where we're trying to change some behaviors here, is what motivates people to change or to act in a new way. My second checkbox will almost always be, do they have the skills that they need to make those changes? Again, whether that be internally or externally, people are not going to be very motivated to change a behavior or adopt a product usage or a new program if they don't have the skills necessary to move forward with that. My third checkbox then is, do they have the social support, both from a colleague level, other users that might be on their team, but also the social support of a leader in their organization or people giving executive buy-in. I've seen a lot of cases where people are highly motivated and ready to move forward, but without some of that executive support, a lot of times those programs can fall through. My next checkbox, my fourth checkbox, is understanding kind of what the scorecard looks like. What are people being measured on, and how does that affect their day-to-day and their job and the things that they are doing? What are the metrics that matter to them? How is that score being kept? And how can I help them improve that score, either with product adoption or even with a specific program as well? I had an opportunity a few years back where I worked with an organization where, as weird as this sounds to us now, this was a few years ago, the department who was responsible for renewals did not have like a renewals goal or a renewals KPI to say they didn't receive any sort of commission or bonus on renewals. And so the retention rate was very low in that organization because on their scorecard, the renewals didn't matter at the end of the day to their commission. And so I think we see that as well when we look at more SaaS-based organizations or when users are trying to adopt new product usage, what is the scorecard that's important to them and how do I fix that scorecard? And then my last checkbox is just kind of making sure everybody has the tools they need. I had a buddy that used to work at AutoZone, and he said that they had an acronym. They would say WINTAGER, and it stands for what you need to get the job done right. And so it's just a simple way for them to upsell, you know, hey, if you're going to be swapping out the battery in your car, hey, do you need new battery terminals? Similarly, I think we often think in the software world that, hey, I'm just going to set you up with this new software and you're ready to go. And a lot of times there may be other tools or necessities, things that are important for that. Again, with one of the experiences I had working with a larger company, they actually had some hardware that was required for them to upgrade. They had to upgrade some hardware in order to be able to upgrade some of the software that they wanted to do as well. And so that's that last one for me is making sure that people have all of the tools they need to get the job done right. Those are my checkboxes and my advice for improving user adoption.
Jesse, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
Yeah, feel free to reach out to me and connect either on LinkedIn. It's just on LinkedIn. You can find me as Jesse B. Good or hit me up personally. My email is Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, at Apprendi, that's APRENDEY.com. And happy to chat more about the topic and help however I can.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.